Like I hear my little ducky a quacking, don't I? Oh, let me say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. What a honor and privilege to get to feel what God allows us to feel. We sing that song and it says, what a father, what a friend, what a savior he is. Scripture reminds us in the book of Proverbs that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And it goes on to say, and a friend that loveth at all times. I'm so glad that the Lord loves us. He loves us whenever we feel like we've been good, and He loves us whenever we feel like we've been bad. He loves us, and that's the most important thing that you can know this morning, that the Lord really, really loves us. And I'm so glad. I deserve His wrath. I deserve His judgment. But continuously what I find is His favor and His mercy and His love. And here I am, a sinner saved by grace, undeserving as I am. But oh, I'm so glad He loves sinners, of which I am the chief. But He loves me anyway. You know why? Because that's who He is. God is love. That's His heart toward mankind. The greatest expression of love that has ever been given was when He allowed His precious Son to die on a cross for our sin, that we might believe and be saved. Me just a moment this morning. His love is an overwhelming love. His love overcomes my inadequacies. His love overcomes my sinful nature. His love overcomes my fear and my discouragement. And in His presence, the Bible said, in the presence of the King, there's joy. Now, my heart is full this morning. I'm so thankful for the goodness of God. I'm so thankful to have a Savior that died on a cross and rose on the third day and is seated at the right hand of God, ever lives to make intercession for you and I. You have your Bibles, and it's amazing the way the Lord works. I am just always amazed. I'm blown away how God sets things up, and every song we've sung kind of leads us into the message that God has laid upon our heart. And here you'll find in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, if you'll turn there, 27th chapter of the book of Acts, we'll pick it up, I don't know, somewhere around the 8th verse. 27th chapter of the book of Acts in the 8th verse. Now we know this, that Paul is on his way to Rome. He's going to stand before Caesar. God has already told him, I'm going to bring you before Caesar. He has a promise from God that he's going to make it to Rome. And we got a promise from the Lord. If we've been saved, we're headed to a different shore. And he's given him a promise that he's going to be brought there. And they, in verse 7 it says, we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce we were come over to this place called Sindus, and the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete and against Salamine, and hardly passing by it, we came to a place that is called Fair Havens, which was nigh unto the city of Lasea. And when much time was spent, and sailing was dangerous because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. And when Paul had spoke, didn't believe the things that Paul had spoken. Verse 12, and became, because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the better part or the more part was advised to depart thence, if by any means we might attain unto Phoenix, and to winter there, which is a haven of Crete that lies south, west and northwest. And the verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, called a neuroclidin. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you, the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, this morning, settle my stammering tongue. God, I pray, settle my weak mind. God, let the gift of God that is in my heart and in my soul, Lord, pour out. And God, I pray, Lord, speak to the children of God this morning. Lord, for those that are caught, Lord, in a tempestuous wind, the greatest storm of their life, God, I pray this morning, speak peace to their storm. God, help us realize that in the midst of the greatest storms of our life, if we'll not allow emotion to control us, we'll find that deep, settled peace, that anchor for our soul that goes past the pain of the moment. It goes past the storm that we're in. Lord, it is eternal, and it's in our heart and in our soul if we've been saved. God, I pray this morning for those that are going through the storm. God, speak to them as only you can. God, I beg you this morning, Lord, lay it not to their charge for my weakness, but God, speak even in spite of me to the household of faith. God, that we may, Lord, lift up our eyes and thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, I thank you that you are a great help in a time of trial and tribulation. God, I thank you for the stability that you give our soul. Now, God, help us not only know you at an emotional level, at an emotional point, but God, let it be deep-seated in our heart and in our soul. And our emotions, they'll fool us and they'll trick us. But God, I thank you. Your salvation is stable. Lord, it is everlasting. It is eternal. And God, it is our hope this morning. So God, I pray, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my iniquity. And God, take us in the days of old. You did the man of God. Lord, I pray, cleanse my mouth, purify my mind and my heart, that we might preach the word of God in Christ's name and for our sake. Amen. And amen. In this 27th chapter of the book of Acts, here Paul's going to be brought to Rome, and before Caesar, God has made him that promise. And here they're sailing and the wind is very soft. They're really not getting anywhere in a hurry because they don't have a wind to drive them. They're getting late almost the time of the year that we are. They're getting late in September. They're maybe in the middle of October. And now at this time of the year, these cold fronts would pass over the Mediterranean Ocean. My goodness, they would kick up a low pressure and cause a huge storm in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean. And here the time has passed. They're really going to go out into a dangerous place in the ocean at a dangerous time of the year. And God has spoken to Paul, and he's got this feeling in his heart, we probably ought not go. And he's able to speak that and tell them, I really perceive this is not going to go well. Have you ever had that perception in your heart that maybe something bad was going to happen, and maybe God put that in you to help you avert disaster? And he feels this way. We ought not be going. This isn't going to work out. You know, we're going to have a great harm of the ship. And you know, he does everything he can to try to explain this, and they will not listen. And I believe in the day and age we live, there are men that are standing behind the pulpits of America trying to remind us that if we're not careful, we're going to end up in the greatest storm of our nation's history. And it's not because God doesn't love us. It's because of the sin of our age and the lack of faith and belief. Here Paul goes on and he admonishes them. He says, we ought not go, but supposing they had obtained their purpose, they begin to sail on out. You know, they were at a place called Fair Haven. Imagine just the name of it makes you want to throw out a hammock and take it easy. And the wind's blowing softly and everything's at ease. And so they push on out into the ocean. When they get out into the ocean, they hit the storm of their life, and they cannot drive, they can't driver. They can't sail the ship. So what they do, they turn it in the direction the wind is going, and they let the wind push it. It is a storm they cannot go into and fight against. So they take the ship and steer it in the direction of the wind, and they let the ship drive. The Bible said they come to a certain island which is called Claudia, and there was much work to come by the boat. Now they realize we're in the storm of our life, and we've got to do everything we can, or we're not going to make it out of this storm. So they do everything, being good sailors, that they know to do. The first thing they do, they begin to undergird the ship with help. These were these big long poles that stretched across the hull so that they hit a quicksand or maybe a rock, it wouldn't crush the ship inward and cause it to sink. They take the lading of the ship and the contents of the ship, and they try to lighten the load, and they cast it all overboard. But nothing is working. The storm is getting worse and worse. Have you ever been there? You've done everything you know to do, and the wind's still blowing. You prayed every prayer you know to pray, and it's not getting better. It's still getting worse. It gets to the point where He makes a statement, after many days of not seeing the sun or the moon or the stars. Oh, have you ever been there? Where everywhere you look, it's darkness. And it just seems like all hope. He said all hope that we had of being saved was taken away. They're in the storm of their life, and now they're hopeless. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. Your emotion, if you're not careful, will lead you to a place of hope. Hopelessness. Understand this, that as sure as there is a storm, there's also a God who's able to speak to the storm. Our Master can stand to the stern of the ship and say, "Peace, be still." And I know it may be hard, and I know you may be going through a lot right now, but I've come to tell you, this too shall pass. And God can still give you peace in the midst of the storm. Here they are doing all they know to do, and nothing's better than it really. It just seems like they're in a hopeless state. Let me ask you, and I want you to be honest with me. Do you ever feel hopeless? Do you ever feel hopeless about our nation? Hopeless about where we're headed and the things that are going on around us? I want to tell you this. If we're not careful, that emotion, that feeling of hopelessness, it'll drain every bit of energy out of your being. It'll take the joy out of your salvation. Listen, when we see all these things come to pass, we're not to be hopeless. We're to realize the end is coming, and we're going to see Jesus. Don't be hopeless. Be hopeful. That's okay. You ain't got to amen me. Listen, here they are in the fight for their lives. And all of a sudden, Paul's gone. And everybody's wondering, where is the Apostle Paul? He's left and he's gone. He's down in the hole of that ship. After, in verse 21, a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Now listen, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loose for Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Paul says, "I told you what was going to happen." Now listen. He don't beat them to death for 30 minutes or an hour about telling them how wrong they were. They realize now they made a huge mistake. I want to say this. If you've made some mistakes in your life, if you've got children and they make mistakes, it's all right to point out the mistake, but don't beat them to death over it. Understand they can learn, and we can learn from the mistakes we make. And a mistake is an opportunity for God to do something wonderful in our lives. You believe that? He can take the worst and make good out of it. He's gone. And he says, "You shouldn't have done this." Verse 22, I love this. He said, "Now I exhort you, be of good cheer." Can you imagine how that went over? Be of good cheer. Everything they're looking at is telling them the ship is going down. Everything they see reminds them they're caught in the storm of their life. They're so carried away by the emotion of the moment that they cannot see the provision of God. I want to tell you, if we're not careful, we can become so emotional constantly tossed to and fro, will not understand and will not be able to see. Listen, that God is able to meet the need we're in the moment that we need Him the most. Emotion. Now I want to say this. Does anybody feel good when they're in the house of the Lord and God begins to move? Stirs your emotions, stirs your heart, and that's good. But I want to remind you, that same emotion can be stirred and cause you to feel hopeless and cause you to be fearful and cause you to be helpless. But I've come to tell you, what we've got with Jesus goes beyond the emotion of the moment and the pain of the moment. It's deeper than that. It's mind and our heart. And if we'll let our emotion get out of the way, we can still have the peace of God. He said, "Sir, you shouldn't have done this." But he said, "I'll tell you what I done. I got down in the hull of the ship and I began to talk to the Lord." Oh, have you found out that in the midst of your storm, you can talk to the Lord and He'll talk back? Oh, Paul's down there praying. Don't you know he would have some of the same questions that we've got? Lord, I thought I was going to go to Rome and it looks like we're going to die here on this ocean. And all of a sudden there's an angel appears unto Paul and says, "Listen, it's going to be all right. You're going to lose the ship, but not a hair on any man's head is going to suffer." Paul comes up and he has a message for him. He says, "There stood by me this night the angel of God." Listen, how precious, whose I am and whom I serve. I want you to know this preacher before you is the Lord's. I'm not Satan's. I'm not the world's. I'm not in my emotion. I am the Lord's. And listen, he said, "The Lord whose I am and whom I serve." He said, "That angel stood by me," and here's what he said. He said, "Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all that sail with thee." The angel said, "Paul, I'm not just going to give you your life. I'm going to give you everybody's life." Now I want you to hear me, good men of God. You may not realize this, but you may be standing in the gap, not just for you, not just for your family, but for a multitude of people around you. I want to tell you, a good man of God in a bad situation, God can use to the fullest and greatest extent of His grace and mercy. And ladies, the same applies for you all. Listen, sometimes we find ourselves in the greatest storm of our life, and it's not about us. It's about somebody else whose life needs to be affected by what we have, by the God whose we are and the God whom we serve. Now here's why I despise This is why I despise the prosperity gospel. It's because it teaches you that no bad will come into the life of a good Christian. I'm going to tell you, that is not the case. Paul is in an awful situation. And it's not because he sinned. It's not because he's done anything wrong. It's because he's right where he needs to be. God needed a man on that ship. I want to tell you, God needs men and women to stand up and be men and women for the Lord. Stand up with some joy and faith in your soul. And while we may be in a great storm, it's going to be all right because God said it would. God whose I am and whom I'm served. The Bible said 14 days they were in that storm, tossed to and fro. Now, they begin to sound out. What they would do, they'd have a horn on that ship and they would blow it, and if it landed up against a piece of land or a parcel of land, the sound waves would come back and they could tell how close they were to the island or to some shoreline. And they begin to sound out and they begin to find out they were getting closer and closer to the shore. All these things that are going on in the world today, it's just God sounding out, letting us know we're closer and closer to the shore. Listen, we're not on some journey that goes into the abyss, or some journey that doesn't have an end, or some journey that doesn't have a shore, or some departure that don't have a place of landing. I want you to know we're headed to heaven's shore. And every time you hear the negativity going on around the world, know that the Word of God is sounding out, and we're closer to home than what we were before. They keep sounding out. They realize they're getting closer, and they're getting closer. And the Bible said they cast out four anchors and they waited for the day. You know what? Every now and then, I want you to hear this. God, let this burn down in my soul. Help me. You know how I preach it sometimes and I don't get it? You've been there. I preach it and I want you to get it. God, help me get this. They cast out the anchors and they waited. Sometimes it's a good thing to just wait on the Lord. Now it's a hard thing to do. When everything in you says the ship is going down, they do something uncommon. They cast out the anchors and they wait. Oh, it looked like they'd been caught up in the madness of the moment and just kept going. But sometime the Spirit of God will just set you down and cause you to wait. And the Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Every now and then the Bible said it's a good thing to wait on the Lord. Every now and then you need to just stop and wait. God, help me get this. They waited and they got some further instruction. The Bible said that the Apostle Paul made this statement. I want you to hear this now. He said, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now somebody said, well, you think about Silver City Church. Well, first of all, I love you. Y'all, my people, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, same blood running through our veins, the blood of Jesus. But I want you to understand this. If the ship goes down, I'm going to go down with it. But here's the thing. The ship ain't going down. Whenever the disciples were on the ship with Jesus and they woke him up out of fear, do you think for one second that ship was going down with the Lord on it? Now I want you to hear this, Silver City Church. I want you to hear this. This ship ain't going down as long as the Lord is the captain of the ship. As long as He's not the pastor, not the deacons. Certainly, some will say that again. Not the pastor, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the captain of the ship. You know why? Whenever we make man the captain, man will cause destruction. But Jesus is our captain. Oh, and He's a good captain. He sailed this way before. He'd been through a lot of storms. He said, now listen. He said, you got to stay on the ship. You got to abide here to be saved. Now listen, they're so tore up. They're so emotionally distraught. They can't eat anything. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so upset or ever been so anxious you can't eat? And here's the time for the preacher man's confession. I'm going to tell you there are times I get so full of anxiety. I find it hard to eat. Food don't taste good. I have to make myself eat. You know why? When our eyes are on the storm and our focus is on the pain and on the sorrow, I'm telling you, it'll take your appetite away. Paul said, stop it. Stop. Now take and eat something. We're going to make it. I've come to tell you, church, eat the Word of God. Pray and talk to the Lord. We're going to make it. The Bible said He told them to eat something. There were 276 souls on there. And when they had eaten enough, they threw even the wheat out in to the ocean. The Bible said there was a place, verse 39, when it was day, they didn't know the land, but they discovered a certain creek shore. If it were possible, they were going to thrust the ship into it. When they taken up the anchors, listen, they committed themselves under the sea. They loosed the rudder bands, hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and they made toward the shore. I'm going to tell you, listen, We try to drive the ship. We try to control the will of God. I'm going to tell you, every now and then, you got to cut loose the rudder band. You know what the rudder band was? It tied the captain's wheel to the helm of the ship. They cut it loose. And said, you know why? We're going to let God do whatever God does. But God's going to drive a ship. I'm going to tell you the reason we make our lives a shipwreck. We try to drive the ship. Cut loose. Oh, somebody this morning, cut loose the rudder band. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you drove as far as you can drive. Cut the rudder band loose. Hoist the mainsail. Get a hold of the Lord and let Him carry it the rest of the way. Bible said, falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. I'm going to tell you what. There is a place where two seas meet. One will carry you out into the abyss of nothingness, into the eternal judgment of God. All you got to do is stay on that course, and that's exactly where you'll end up, lost at sea. But there's another where two seas meet. There's another that is drawing in toward the shore, that is pulling, that would pull that boat toward the shore. They said, we're going to drive it in there, and what's going to happen? The waves are going to pull the ship inward. And they saw a place where a creek came out, fresh water. They jammed that ship in there, and the waves broke the ship in half. And you know what? They crawled out on pieces on the ship and swam to shore, and every one of them were saved. I want you to know this. It's not enough to be on the ship. You better have a piece of the ship. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you need a piece of the ship. That's the only way you're going to make it home. Stand to your feet. Oh, my little old sweet thing's trying to out-preach Papa. That's all right. Yeah. All morning, God help me. All morning it's been about the storm. I tell you what, Adam. It's going to be this strange. Barry, can we have the choir come up? Can we sing Safe Thus Far? Lydia, where are you at, sweetie? I'm going to ask the choir. This is going to be the invitation. I'm going to ask the choir to come up. Y'all come on up. You know I don't do this. I ain't doing this for dramatic effect. I'm just trying to follow the Lord this morning. Find us that song, Safe Thus Far. And I want you to hear this song. And I want you to know that this is your opportunity. If you need to come and you need to pray. As they sing, I'm going to tell you this. If you're not in a storm right now, rejoice in the Lord. I tell you what, it's been the best fall, one of them that we've ever had. It's been so peaceful. Been so beautiful. I hadn't had to deal with rain or a washout. God has been so good. But you know what? Next year it may rain every Saturday and Sunday. We don't know what's ahead of us. But I tell you what, the captain does. If you need to pray this morning as they sing, you come. Talk to him this morning.
I was reminded where I am and where I've been.
Think about where the Lord brought you from. God, I pray, give them strength.
Lord, that they might know
that regardless
of what the mind tells them,
if they would,
Lord, I pray, Lord, for them,
with
and
I certainly
they would pray. Yes, amen. God, I pray that you help us realize this morning, God, how far you brought us. Lord, you didn't bring us here to leave us. You're going to take us all the way home. You think about right now what God has brought you through. Think about, and I don't glory in this, what I used to be. The man that I was. The Lord didn't bring me this far to leave me. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. Listen, we're going to a place called heaven one day after a while. When she sings this last verse, You listen to what she's saying. Go ahead, Lydia. Go ahead. Something about it.
Uh-huh.